drop him. Don't drop him. Don't drop him. Sit back. Sit back. Hold on to him. Sit back. Hold on to him. Sit back. I'm not screaming with you. Hello, everyone. As you can probably tell, I'm outside. Last time, I think, a little while ago now, but Neil and I were sat in the kitchen with a brew, pondering over how it's been so far and what we've been up to. And it's actually been a couple of months since that came out, and well, I'm sure you can imagine life has changed. You'll be able to hear throughout the course of this some little voices. I'm currently walking around the village where I live, trying to desperately get them to go to sleep, and Fox Cub 1 is currently considering it. Fox Cub 2 is currently fighting it, which is standard, really. But yeah, gosh, hasn't life changed? We're now the proud parents of two children who are throwing their Teletubbies out of their pram. And you can hear a meltdown that's about to happen because Tinky Winky just got run over. Well, don't drop it. Don't drop it again. Oh, Tinky Winky's going to go to the farm. Hold on to it. Sit back. Good lad. Life has changed. Life has changed somewhat. His little fox cubs have been at home with us for a good few weeks now. Routine seems to be in place. Bedtime seems to be going well. Couple of wake-ups at night. But all in all, we're doing really, really well. We have two little kiddos who are huggy. They like to give kiss, they like to show affection. They have big imaginations and equally big emotions. They like everything that kids like. And all in all, seem to be doing really well. Don't touch the car. As you can tell, they're exceptionally obedient. As Fox Cub 1 just tried to put a big scratch down somebody's car with Tinky Winky's face. But they're doing all right. They've taken to having a daddy and a papa very, very well. They come to us in equal part for different things. They're definitely already trying to play us off each other a little bit, which is fun. But yeah, we're doing well. The great thing is, they both seem to really enjoy the garden, and whilst we've not had amazing weather since they moved in, and occasional time that it has been nice, like today, we'll be able to get out in the garden. We're at the flower show a couple of weeks ago, which was amazing, and Fox Cub number 2 was very, very drawn to flowers and the colours and liked to smell them. And he's really quite happy when we're in the garden to pick up weeds and leaves and throw them in the compost with a bit of help. And yeah, they seem to be doing really well and getting on really well with their new environment. Sorry for the wind. But yeah, the show was great, the flower show in Chorley. I don't know whether any of you folks managed to go. We had some amazing encounters there, just talking to different people and learning more about different flowers, seeds and bulbs. I'll go round. I'm just about to get run over with them.
You're right.
One of the joys about having two kids is that everybody loves them. Everybody wants to stop and talk to them, and these two are exceptionally friendly. They'll say hello to anybody and wave at anybody. Pick up Tinky Winky, come on. Keep him safe. Yeah. So what do we do at the flower show? So I spent way more money than I needed to, and I don't know whether Neil will listen back to this, he probably won't. So I can be honest, I spent way too much money. But there's just some really, really good prices on things. I picked up a huge allium bulb for pennies, really, Mount Everest. And, gosh, I forget what the other one was. So a Mount Everest and a Shubati, I think it's called. And they look incredible. I actually collected all my allium seeds in June. Had all the heads hanging upside down in the kitchen with grocery bags. I know there are many shopping supermarkets, but Tesco in particular do a wonderful net bag for, I guess, your mushrooms or your veg that you can reuse. You can go back and get the rest of your mushrooms and whatnot in there, but they are perfect because they're little drawstring bags. They're perfect for putting over the heads of whatever you're drying out, and every so often you just walk over and give it a tap and all the seeds fall out. I think I shared some pictures already on the Instagram, but if not, I'll share some more. But it's just a lovely way of effortlessly collecting all the seeds. And then I chucked them in a sieve colander, which separated again the seeds from the husks and the dead heads. But yeah, so that's a little effortless tip. That's great. So I got that Shubati and Mount Everest. I then got some 25 bulbs, I think it was, or 20 bulbs of the, gosh, what are they called? Uva vulpis, what are they called? Fritillaria, I forget. But they're like these wonderful little snowdrop looking things almost, but they grow again, like alliums that grow up. The stalk can pop out. And then the Chorley. We've lost Tinky Winky again, would you believe it? Right, I'm holding Tinky Winky. Hold on to Tinky Winky, Stinky Dipstick, whatever they're called. But yeah, the friends of Chorley or the Chorley Gardening Society, I forget which one they were, but a wonderful group of people who have collected their seeds and then Tinky Winky is definitely going to get launched somewhere in a minute. They collect their seeds and then they package them all up and let you take them for a donation. I got Lichenis coronis, Fomis, Camassia, I'm going to pronounce these wrong, I wrote them down. Digitalis, which I can't wait, I really like Digitalis. And Alcea, something or other. I wrote them down, and I don't know whether I've written them down properly. Anyway, I'll post a picture of those as well. But they wanted just a donation. So I picked up 5 little seed bags, and I'm going to pop them in little pots, come spring, and yeah, I might actually have these little monsters lie down and see whether they'll go to sleep. Sit back. Oh, I know. Okay, we're gonna have some tears. Don't drop Dipsy. Um But it was great. It was lovely seeing some of the show flowers. There was a wonderful, I mean, I've gotten on about dahlias before a number of times. It was a wonderful competition for dahlias, and some of them are just extraordinary. There was a guy from Southport who'd also done a garden. He was, if you go onto the website, he was sponsored by Chorley Council to create two gardens to show. And one of them was in the shape of a guitar, I think it was. And it was just beautiful. And it had all these humongous cafe au lait style dahlias. And dahlias, dahlias. I think I'm going to interchange that word 1,000 times. I said dahlias. But he had some huge cafe au lait ones that were just easily the size of my head. And he gets them from, I think he said from Kent. Definitely down south. And that's apparently just lucky enough to have a different type of climate in that little region, and it seems to serve them exceptionally well. I tried to steal them, he caught me. It wasn't an ideal situation. I thought they'd look lovely on my dining table. He disagreed. Do you know, I have to say, one thing I've noticed, I think I do it or did it, but people park on the pavements. And, you know, we've got two kids, so they sit side by side. And we bought a pushchair that was particularly slimline so that we could get through doorways. But people park on pavements in the worst pace. So it forces you into the road. And you know, I'm pretty able-bodied, I'm overweight. However, walking around the village a few times a week, pushing these two chonks has helped me lose half a stone, which is absolutely chuffing delightful. But people park in the most obnoxious places. And the amount of people that park on drop curbs. Now, like I said, I'm quite able-bodied. I can jump up and down a curb quite quickly, cross the road if I need to. But for our friends that are wheelchair users, or they have mobility issues in other ways and rely on a drop curb so that they're not having to bend and risk tripping over, don't park on a drop curb. If you're going to block the pavement, but don't park on the drop curb as well, because that essentially just traps people. And it really is a dick move, and I guess that's the moral of the story. Don't be a dick. But what was I saying? Yeah, so the guy had lots of dahlias, and they were beautiful. They were really, really nice. He had some other fascinating plants as well. He had his alliums, like big globetrotters, huge things. And they were really late in the season, he said, which really annoyed me because I want mine to last longer. You have to plant them a bit later, but I want mine to last longer, so I'm going to have a go at that. The pushchair that I've got has fully reclinable seats if you undo a little strap. So if they lean back, they're pretty safe and they'll be able to just sit up. But if they push back, it flattens them. And with these two, if they end up horizontal for any period of time, they'll be asleep. And so when they're getting really narky, if I just push the pushchair just that little bit further, that tiny change in G-force sends them horizontal. And it's a little bit of peace and quiet, and that's quite delightful. And it's just happened again. Oh dear. You gonna lie down?
No.
Shall we sleep?
No.
No, can you hear him? No. Shall we sleep?
No.
No? No, thank you, Papa.
No,
sir. No, thank you, Papa.
No, sir.
Are you gonna get sleep?
No.
No? Okay. So, they're not gonna go to sleep. We have an arm being chewed, though, which is a sign that somebody's very, very tired. Well, roll your sleeves up so that you don't get soaking wet. Oh, is that not comfortable, mate? Well, you're all right there. Lean back. Papa, fix it. Lean back. There you go. Lean back. Papa, fix it. I think we'll have to negotiate with them. There you go. Lean back. Lean back. See whether it's okay. But yeah, so it was a wonderful show. Really enjoyed it. Learnt loads. Somebody had grown Physalis. Don't like saying it the other way. Physalis. Chinese lantern. And I love them. We had them at our wedding. And they've dried brilliantly in the final kind of bouquet of flowers. And they're on all the tables. And I don't think I've shared any pictures of this. I don't even think I've thought about it, but the flowers on the table were done by a really good friend of ours, a florist in Warrington. Her name is Beth, and she's about to change the company name, but on Instagram she's the Priory Flower Company. But I'll link to it anyway. She'll change the company name at some point. But she did. We had this one thing that we wanted each of the tables to feel a little bit like an allotment, and that was in honour of my late father. And that was a kind of brief, and we sat and we talked about some must-have flowers, but I essentially said, you know, over to you, whatever you think is, you know, going to look great in autumn. We got married in October, so whatever you think is going to look great and, you know, make it feel like an allotment. So, you know, no beautiful vases and, you know, big floral centerpieces, but just lots of little potting shed moments, and that just that kind of rough and ready but beautiful feel. And you know, I say, I'm sure most florists get the brief right, but she really went truly above and beyond, and I think that's a mark of not just the fact that her and her husband are such good friends, but and we were delighted they were guests at our wedding as well. They came as friends, but they did that for us as well. And she really did truly go above and beyond. She really understood why it was important. And there was just little trowels everywhere, a little name stake things so that people could put the names of so basically people had to guess the name of the flower and put the stakes in. And obviously we had like Physalis and Dahlia and Fox Kangaroo Paw, that kind of thing. And the idea was that people would, you know, plant it like they would an allotment to let you know which is which, and people played with it, people got involved. But it looked like, and I'm sure everybody's got this, I don't have a shed yet or a greenhouse, but I will have. But it looked, every table looked like that part of the potting shed where you put things. So child one is just thrown child two's Teletubby. Hold on, Tim. So yeah, it looked like the corner of your potting shed where you've got a few pots stacked up and a few tools just up there because, you know, you'll need them in a second, and some cuttings that are just there because you're going to take them inside. And it was just perfect. And it felt very much like Dad. A bit scruffy, but very beautiful. And it was delightful. Anyway, I've lost why I'm saying that. Oh, I was talking about, there was a guy at the show who'd grown Physalis. Now, I've tried a couple of times to germinate them and plant them, essentially. And I've never been able to get them to germinate. And I kind of saw his and said, you know, how do you do it? And he was a real northerner. I said, hello. I said, how are you doing it? How are you getting yours to germinate so well? And he says, don't know, just throw them in a grow bag. I felt robbed. But yeah, he was his whole stand was very much no frills, and he was like, oh yeah, just chuck it in a grow bag. I was like, well, how'd you grow these? Chuck them in a grow bag. How'd you grow these? Chuck them in a pot with a bit of drainage and a load of compost, and they grow. And it was quite refreshing that there was somebody just at this show of like perfection and real like hardened, seasoned growing professionals. And there's this one guy that's like, just have a go. Just have a go, see what comes out. And yeah, it was great. And I forget his name and I forgot where he worked. Southport, where I think he was as well. Definitely coastal. But yeah, it was a lovely conversation. I was hoping to get a few people to agree to like having a bit of a conversation with me on here, but I might send them some messages, see whether people would be interested in talking about their growing experience and why they love it. I know a few of them had families, so it'd be good to hear how their children interact with the garden and whatnot. But yeah, that's an update from us, really. You know, Neil's gone back to work. I am off for a few months with the boys. I'm really cherishing it. It already feels like it's slipping away. A really close friend of ours has recently gone back to work, having been off with his children. And it's really felt the pull of no longer being at home with them and having to be in the office. And I'm not looking forward to that, if I'm honest. It's quite a scary feeling, but new ways of working, I guess, you know. We do things because we've got different priorities now, don't we? So previously I was desperate to forge out a career and really make something and really, really give all of myself to what we're trying to achieve at work. And now that passion is still there, but the purpose is a little bit different. You know, I'm desperate to make the company I work at work and to do my best for them, because ultimately, if the company succeeds, my family will have the best provided for it. So yeah, it's a renewed focus, really, a different focus, but a good focus. I've had some lovely messages off people from work, and I'm not saying that because I know that they're going to listen to this, because it was posted in the company social network that the podcast exists. I will say hello to Kirsty and Tamsin and Claire, and Catherine, because they have been particularly wonderful to me, and not just since we had news of the Cubs coming along, but also in my career there. I joined the company when I was at a very low point in my personal life, and the four of them seem to pick me up and push me on, and that's something that I'll always be grateful for. I think that's it, really, I think, from us. Adoption has been wonderful. We're now just in our happily ever after moment, and that means these two boys get to have a life full of love and support and care and guidance and all the good things they deserve. And for Neil and I, it's that teeny tiny little hole in our lives that was missing. We didn't realise had space for two, but it did. And we count ourselves exceptionally lucky that we've been chosen to look after these boys. And hopefully, as language carries on and characters develop, I think they're both asleep, we will see more of them getting their hands dirty and digging around some more. And one day when the local council actually assigns the plots that are empty, because they are empty, because I went and checked the other day and they're still untouched. But thanks for listening, and if you have any plants, tips, ideas for the garden, I'm a complete novice, I just love it, I'm a complete novice, so send me your tips and advice. I actually became an RHS member, Royal Horticultural Society member, this week, and downloaded their clever little app, and their app tells you what to do, when to do it throughout the year. Gives you a little push notification to your phone and says, get off your backside and go and prune your lavender, which is something that you can do right now, by the way. Stop it getting all leggy and weird, like I did last year. So, you know, it tells you what you can do right now. Gives you advice on when to dig up your bulbs and dry them off and stick them safely inside, and how to thin them out. You know, I've got some Crocus mea lucifer. And really thorough guidance on how to thin those bulbs out and replant them so that you get a good, more even spread, which I think is wonderful. I don't think you need to be a member to download that app either. So, I don't know, have a look. But I guess that's it for this episode. Get in touch if you want. We're on Instagram, Potting On Podcast, I think it is. I think we're on Twitter too, but I haven't tweeted. Certainly nothing of note. I don't know. You can follow us there, but you'll get bored. Definitely have a look at the old Instagram. I've shared lots of pictures over the last few weeks. If you garden and you have kiddos and you want to spend half an hour on a phone call with me and I'm going to natter about this stuff and what you love, then get in touch. I'd love it. I'd absolutely love it, because no one wants to listen to my voice. Definitely. If you've got kids and they enjoy the garden, and get in touch. I'm focusing on adoption because that's how I've come to parenthood, but no one's journey is the same. No one's journey is easier or better or worse than anybody else's. Experiences, how you engage your children in the garden. I'd love to hear it, because that's what I want to do. So get in touch. And I think that's it. Won't bore you anymore. Been lovely speaking to everybody. I think I've got two little fox cubs that are now asleep. So I will say goodbye for now and see you soon. Bye.